Well, good morning, everyone. It was neat earlier this morning when we were all singing together, and worshiping together. And again, it just felt like this theme came up of, you know, Lord, we need you, Spirit. We want you to work. We want to see what you want to do. And we want more than we can kind of muster by ourselves, right? Like, and I think that was the heart cry as we were worshiping, singing these songs, like, I surrender, and like, we want more than what we can do ourselves. And that's honestly, that's what I was praying about this week. And I was praying, thinking about, okay, I'm going to come up, I'm going to stand at the front here, I'm going to talk to all of you, and I don't want to just say something that's going to be just me giving you a little tidbit that I came up with, but I want more of God. I want more of the Spirit working in our lives. I want His work and His power. And so I was so thankful this morning that we just had time to just say that to God, to say, Lord, I want more of you. Who is that? Who has that on your heart? Just like, God, what I want just isn't enough. What I could do, what I could imagine, is just not enough. And I can't describe all that God is, but I want more, and I'm not satisfied until I see more of God in my life. That's what I was feeling this week, and it was special to sing it a little bit together as well. And Jesus says that's a blessed thing. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you'll be filled. And there's this deep hunger and thirst in our hearts that we say, no, I want more. And I can try to do stuff and strategize or like put in my best efforts, and then the results come and it's like, I could even be successful, right? I could do what I was trying to do, and then the results still leave me feeling like, but I still want more. And Jesus says that's a blessed place to be, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the only one who can fill that hunger and thirst is God Himself, His goodness, His greatness. There's nothing else that's enough. There's nothing else that is that good, that great, that can fill us, fill up that hunger and that thirst. And so we cry to Him. And so I was feeling that this week, and then thinking, okay, where from there? And kind of came to this place of talking about prayer, because we're in this place of hunger. We're looking forward to having all of our hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for God to be filled when we see Him face to face. And in the meantime, we're called to continue to hunger, continue to thirst, continue to depend on Jesus, to continue to depend, but not just in a kind of passive way, but to say, I want more of you. It's this active dependence that I think we see really well in prayer, in what prayer is. Prayer talks about our dependence. Prayer admits that I need something that's outside of my capacity to produce, that only you, God, can give me. But it's also active. It's not content to just say, que sera, sera, you know, whatever will be, will be. I'm just here depending on God, but I'm not doing anything. No, it's that there's this hunger and thirst inside our hearts that says, no, God, I don't see it though. I want more of you. I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to pray earnestly to you. Now, I'm not actually a model prayer. I find when I have times of prayer, my mind often wanders. I get distracted. My praying turns into thinking. I don't know if anyone else has that problem. You start with this, you know, ambition of dependent prayer, and you move into self-dependent thinking. Okay, how am I going to fix this? Or just whatever. But so I thought we'd not look at at my model prayer, but at Jesus' model prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And just look at this to see what Jesus teaches us on how to pray. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. Matthew chapter 6, I'll start in verse 5. When you pray, Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's the Lord's Prayer, plus a bit of extra around it. In Luke's gospel, it's nice and simple. The disciples come to Jesus and they say, hey, could you teach us how to pray? And he says, yes, here's a prayer. In Matthew's gospel, we see Jesus teaching the same thing, but in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. And so he's been teaching all sorts of things. And most recently, he's started this section, which starts like this in chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father. And so then Jesus gives three different examples of this idea of practicing your righteousness before people so that you can be seen by them. And he calls people who do this hypocrites. And he talks about hypocritical giving, and then hypocritical praying, and then hypocritical fasting. And Jesus says that when the hypocrites receive this praise from the people, then they're getting what they set out to get, and that's all they're going to get. But he says, we shouldn't be like them. Instead, we should do these things in secret, because our Father in heaven sees that. And each of the three sections kind of ends with this. So it's in Matthew 6, 4, and then 6, 6, and 6, 18. Your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So that's kind of where we are in this Sermon on the Mount. And praying is an interesting one because it's right in the middle of these three. And then it kind of gets some extra airtime. So it ends with the same phrase, or it seems to end with the same phrase, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. But then it keeps going, and it describes another way that don't pray like this. And then it gives us this whole prayer, how we should pray. And then, of course, there's this little bit on forgiveness at the very end. So we'll just kind of look through this whole teaching that Jesus gives here on prayer. So just like he's done with giving and what he's about to do with fasting, Jesus says, you know, don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't do it in front of people to get recognition from them. And he's talking, obviously, about the Jewish religious people of the time, like the Pharisees. You know, you see the Pharisees a lot in the Gospels. And they're going around and they're praying and they're trying to get in the synagogues or in the street corners, and they're trying to get people to see them. And Jesus says, well, they're getting their reward in full. And so that seems to end what kind of the theme he's talking about. But then he goes on and he says, well, and here's another way that you really don't need to pray. He says, don't pray like the pagans, the other religion that these guys were surrounded with in Jesus' day, the religion of the state, the Roman gods, the Greek gods, and these people would pray to them. And Jesus says they keep babbling on because they're trying to get the gods to pay attention. But you don't need to pray like that. It reminds me of that story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal are like, they're cutting themselves, they're hooting and hollering, they're trying to get their God's attention. And Elijah starts making fun of them, and he's like, you know, maybe Baal's just stepped out for a minute. You know, maybe he's on a holiday. You know, maybe he's sleeping. Just shout a bit louder, wake him up. And they're like, no, you know, they're trying to do all this stuff to get attention. And Jesus says, no, you know, you guys, you don't need to pray like that. And he says, we don't have a God whose attention we need to get by praying long enough or babbling on or using these special words. But he says, no, we have a Father who already knows everything we need and just wants us to ask him. So on the one hand, we don't need to pray to impress people. On the other hand, we also don't need to pray to impress God. We just come to our Father who knows what we need and we ask. And then that introduces us to this prayer, how Jesus tells us how to pray. And the first words he says are, our Father, our Father. He's introing this just like he's talked about. We're praying to this God who knows us and our needs perfectly and cares about us like his kids. It's this God that we're praying to, our Father. Also, I think it's worth pointing out just that word our and us and we. These pronouns happen throughout the prayer. And Jesus has just said, you know, pray in secret. And the point of that is, you know, don't pray to get people's attention, to impress people. But there's also this truth in how this prayer is phrased that we're not just praying as individuals either, but we can pray together and with people. And even when we're praying on our own, we're praying for ourselves, but we're also praying for the community that we're a part of. Our Father. I'm not going to go like this slow word for word through the whole thing. Don't worry. Our Father. And then this is the beginning of the prayer. Verses 9 to 10. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The prayer is for God's name to be lifted up, to be honored and acknowledged as holy in all the world. It's for the kingdom of God, his coming ultimate rule, to come throughout the earth. It's for God's will to be done on earth just as it's done in heaven. And when I pray this prayer, I'm struck that this is where Jesus gets us to start. I've heard the Lord's Prayer described as a discipling prayer. In other words, as we pray it, it kind of forms us into the kind of followers that Jesus calls us to be. And I think the beginning of it does this. We come to prayer and the first things we say are, hallowed be your name, Father. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We start praying about God's plans and his purposes. We focus our hearts first, not on our personal needs, but on God's glory. And then I think praying like this brings those hungers and thirsts that we started by talking about. I think it brings those into clarity. As we pray like this, we realize that it's only God's name, only his kingdom, only his will that is going to satisfy our deepest longings. So we get lifted up into this. And that's heartening, and it's motivating. It's heartening because we know that these are the things that God wants to do in this world. We say, okay, the things that God wants to do in this world are actually the things that are going to satisfy this deep hunger and thirst in my spirit. And God is about them, and he wants to do them, and he's working on them, and he's gonna bring these things about. But it's also motivating because we don't see these things. And that's why we're hungry and thirsty. We don't see these things in the way we would hope to. And this is where prayer comes in. You know, prayer isn't kind of this just reciting these, and especially with this prayer, we're so familiar, but it's not just reciting these words by rote or just saying these things. We're actually asking God for things. We're petitioning him. We're saying, God, please come. Would your name be made holy? Would your kingdom come on this earth? Because it isn't right now. Not in the way we want to see. It's growing slowly, like Jesus said, but we want to see it more fully. We want to see your will be done, even as it is in heaven, God, on earth. So we pray. This is motivating us to pray, to enter in again to this active dependence on God. We say, God, only you, but I want to pursue this, and I want to ask you. in real earnestness. So that's the first part of the prayer. And then in verse 11, there's this really short, simple prayer. Give us today our daily bread. You know, Jesus has brought us into this hunger and then petition for God's kingdom and will and holy name. And then he also teaches us to pray for the small things that we need, the things we need every day. We're not just dependent on God for the fulfillment of our deepest longings, but we're also dependent on him for our everyday needs, the food we need each day. And maybe for some of us here, that prayer has felt really relevant at times. Maybe there have been days when you said, I don't know if I'm going to get to eat today. Maybe for others of us, it can seem pretty abstract. It's hard to imagine a time when we were really uncertain of our ability to get food that day. In either case, the prayer draws us again into this active dependence to say, you know, it's not us who provide for ourselves, but it's God who provides for us. So every day we come to the Father who knows our need and just ask him to give us what we need that day. It's a really simple prayer, but I think if we really got it, it could change how we think a lot about things. I think it could free us from this culture's obsession with money and stuff and bring us to the realization that we are dependent on God for everything. It could make us more generous people as we realize that everything we have is a gift from God. It could bring us into closer relationship with the Father as we ask him to meet us in the mundane, everyday things. And we say, God, just today, in every moment, I need you to bring us to walking with God in every moment. And I think it could also kind of sanctify or make holy or enrich those daily mundane things in our lives to think, oh, God's at work here in giving me this food I'm eating today. I say it could because I think I need some shaping by this. I know I need some shaping by this prayer to be formed into this mindset, to say daily, Father, give us today our daily bread. And then the last two prayers are that God would forgive our sins and deliver us from the temptation of the evil one, both concerning sin. It says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We don't just come to God needing him to kind of fulfill our deepest longings. We don't just come to God needing bread today. We come to God needing forgiveness, needing rescue, needing help. We don't start at zero, kind of. We come with a deficit. And the dependence we have on God in this prayer, I think it just kind of hits the deepest point. We're not just dependent on God's power, we're also dependent on his mercy to us. We depend on his forgiveness. And so we come to him, again, actively saying, Father, and forgive our sins. And Jesus says that this dependence is meant to be active in a unique way. Because as we depend on God's forgiveness in prayer and come to him, Jesus says that that actually has to also affect our lives, how we live. What we're praying for from God is also what is required of us when there are other people who depend on us for mercy and forgiveness, right? So we're depending on God for his mercy and forgiveness. And Jesus says, and then sometimes there's going to be people who are going to depend on you for mercy and forgiveness. And you have to give that to them because that's what you're depending on God for. And Jesus is also explicit here about our prayer shaping our lives. Because it's as we pray for the Father's forgiveness that we're to mention in the same breath. I don't know if you ever pray this prayer and you feel like that's kind of funny that I'm just talking about what I'm doing. It's like as we're praying for this, we're to mention in the same breath that we also forgive those who depend on us for forgiveness. So as we pray, we're letting this shape how we live. And then we're also to pray for God's deliverance from temptation. Because we didn't just sin once, and now we're like, please forgive me, Father. We're also saying, like that hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, that line. We also say, actually, I have a propensity to this. And so, Father, I'm also dependent on you. Would you help me? Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from the evil one. Don't lead me into temptation. Help me, Father. I need you here too as I go forward. And the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, it just leaves us utterly dependent on the Father. We've come to him with our hopes and our longings. We've come to him with our daily needs. We've come to him with our sin and our propensity to sin. We've come to him actively depending on his intervention, on him doing something. So when we pray, let's not be like the hypocrites who pray publicly in order to be acknowledged by people, and let's not pray like maybe people in certain other religions who are using their words in a certain way, trying to get God's attention. But let's come to our Father and pray for his ears alone, like he's really listening, actively depending on the one who knows our needs before we even ask him, praying for his kingdom, for his provision, for his forgiveness, and for his protection. And of course, this morning, we're going to finish by praying this together. Have to, right? I know that some of us are, we have this memorized in the King James Version or something, but just so we're all praying the same words, we're going to have it on the screen from this translation, from Matthew 6, 9 to 13. So let's pray this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Father, we do come to you so dependent and so hungry. Thank you for the truth that you satisfy our longings, that you are a provider, that you forgive our sins. But we don't want to just kind of traipse through life. We want to actively pursue that dependence on you in all of these areas. To say, your kingdom come. Father, bring your kingdom. Bring your name to be holy. Bring your will about on this earth. We want to actively pray for your provision. Say, God, today, would you give us what we need? And I actively pray for your forgiveness, saying, I'm sinful, Father. Forgive me. And for your protection and help as we go forward. Lord, thank you for the hunger that we sensed in this room this morning, as we worship together. Pray that would continue, that it would deepen, we'd spur one another on to be hungry and to be actively pursuing you, depending on you to move and to give us all we need. In Jesus' name, amen.